science, learning, business, community. You. Welcome to Think Works, the podcast for people who like to think. Because thinking is the hardest work there is. Come with us on a journey into the world of ideas with your host, Darren Smithson.
Hello and welcome to another episode of ThinkWorks, the place where we like to do all the heavy lifting when it comes to thinking. And this week I want to follow up on the kill all monsters principle that I discussed in last week's ThinkWorks. And I mentioned that it's a very powerful principle when used in conjunction with the unexpected guest principle. Now, both those principles are part of 13 principles in my new book, which is called You 2.0, Build Yourself Better, which is not only about building yourself as a better person and a better leader, a better entrepreneur. It's all about how you go about making sure that your business is also fit and healthy, or your team, or your department, whichever part of your life that you want to focus on. These principles can all be adapted to each of those different aspects of your personal and professional life. Now, the unexpected guest principle is the 13th and last of the principles. And I left it while last because it's incredibly powerful as a tool for, especially for organizations or departments or teams. And it goes very well when used with some of the other principles that are in the earlier part of the book, like the kill all monsters principle, the round table principle, and so on. So, what is the unexpected guest principle all about? Now, it's the 13th at the table. It's that kind of, it's something that came from so far out of left field, no one saw it coming, and it could literally devastate a personal aspect of your life or a professional aspect of your life or your business. Even the entire corporations have gone down because of the unexpected guest. And it's basically what it means is you need to be asking yourself and your staff members and your team and your family and your community group and so on, you need to be asking the unthinkable question. Because your business or service or family could be literally destroyed overnight. And it's not because you were careless. It's not because you didn't manage your finances properly, for example. It's not because you weren't aware that a competitor developed a slightly cheaper widget than yours, or a better sales force, developed a better sales force. All those are the things that you can adapt to very quickly and make sure that you start to claw back some of the reality of what's going on around you. The unexpected guest is something that wasn't on the radar and changed the rules of the game, and possibly even the name of the game. So I want you to think about Nokia and the iPhone, for example. Nokia and were struggling already because of BlackBerry, which came along and just changed the way that things were done. And then the iPhone, which came from a company not even in the mobile phone industry, literally changed everything with a proper smartphone. I guess if I just go back to the chapter in the book, I guess what we're saying is the unexpected guest is called change. Now, we all think we know what change is, and we all think we know how it works, but sometimes it's so fast and so far out of left field that it can literally happen in a heartbeat. I'll tell you what, let's give you some words of wisdom. It isn't that they can't see the solution, it's that they can't see the problem. And that's G.K. Chesterton. So the fact is, change occurs all the time, most of it in not the least dramatic or shattering way, but change is happening all the time. But a lot of us instinctively fear change, and we concentrate on what's making us successful, whether it's in our personal or professional life. It doesn't matter which way around, but we have this instinctive fear or anxiety about when anything starts to change, especially if it's in a business context. Well, say you've been working for a company for quite some time, and then someone says, right, we need to change the way we're doing things. There's an anxiety in that, because in our heads instantly we go to the change means we're going to be laying people off. It doesn't necessarily mean that. And it could be something that if you embrace it and really ran with it, would actually make your contribution to that organization even more vital. So we just need to stop being afraid of change, because change is good in many ways. And, you know, if we're not changing, we're stagnating. And if we're stagnating, we're not living, we're dying. It's that simple. For example, the internet. Now, all the social media evils aside, and the fact that unfortunately a lot of companies have started, and organizations, local government in particular, have started to use the internet as almost like a barrier between them and the customer, which I it just fries my brain that companies are going down that route. But it does, it has, and it will continue to make life easier in many aspects. Years ago, I needed to get some new glasses, and I went on to Martin's Money Saving Expert site. I mean, there are other sites like that, Compare the Market, etc., that you can go on. I'm not pushing any one particular site, but it suggested that I take a look at something called Glasses Direct. Now, the whole idea of this is literally you get your eyes tested, you say what... you have a look, you have a browse for your glasses, your frames and everything. And I just thought, do you know what? £400 designer glasses for £79. I thought, how good is this really going to be? And I took a punt. I wasn't convinced that getting glasses on the internet was the right way to go. But oh my goodness, I tell you what, guys, the service was incredible. You get sent a selection of different options of frames and what have you for you to try out. You decide which ones you want, you send the others back, bish bash bosh, and you've got your glasses. And they are much cheaper than the high street opticians. And the reason for that is, of course, is the fact that they are internet based. They don't have bricks and mortar to pay for. They don't have shop staff that they have to pay. They have a small team that literally work on designing the glasses or getting the glasses in and the best possible price, and they don't have the overheads then to add on that make it so expensive. And it was simple, it was easy, it was elegant, and it was a good way to use change effectively. But change can be bad if you're not prepared for it, and this is where the unexpected guest principle comes in. There's a very simple question that Joel Barker in his book Future Vision posited. And he said, ask yourself what is totally impossible in my industry that if it was possible would totally change the rules of the game. Now, it's a hard question, but if you were working in California, for example, in the late 80s in the vinyl industry, which produced around 80% of the vinyl world supply of LP vinyl, all you were doing were watching the competitor down the road. What improvements to quality had they made? What savings had they made? What new partnerships have they made? And so you were constantly just competing in this little bubble. But then came Philips from a small country in Europe with something that was not an improvement in vinyl, but a brand new technology altogether, the CD. And within 2 years, your vinyl company, along with most of your competitors, was gone. It just completely changed the rules of the game. I've already mentioned Nokia and BlackBerry and BlackBerry and Apple, for example. Atari and Amiga, another great example. They, in the top five computer companies in the world at one point or another, but they were so busy knocking spots off each other because the personalities at the top and fallouts, so the whole history between Commodore Amiga and Atari is very interesting and very messy. They failed to see what was happening around them with the growth of the ubiquitous PC architecture, where anyone could pop in and make a PC because all the components were the same. Yes, there might be a little enhancement there and a little improvement there by a manufacturer, but the platform was the same, the operating systems were the same, and anyone could license it and produce them. And before they knew it, literally within about 3 years, these once massive organizations were gone. They just completely had to shut shop because they had failed to notice what was going on around them. My favorite one is the, and I mentioned this in the Kill All Monsters principle last week, is the Trans-Pennsylvania Rail. They were not just one of the big five companies in America, they were one of the big five companies in the world at the time. And along came Henry Ford, and he went to them and said, look, I'm designing this new transportation vehicle for freight, and it's going to be called the truck. And I'm giving you the option to buy all the first production models for your organization. But the company turned Ford down because they argued that they were in the rail business. And what they'd failed to understand is, no, they weren't. They were in the transportation business. And literally within a decade, this fifth biggest company in the world was struggling. And by the 80s, it had gone, more or less, in all but name. It just shows just a new technology could come along at any point and just steal your market. And if you're thinking this doesn't apply to your family life, just think about this very, very carefully. Because if you're not concentrating on looking after your family, taking care of your partner, of your children, then someone else could come along that you haven't seen come in and just literally take it all away from you. There are so many things that you need to be watchful of. I'm not saying fearful of, I'm just saying be proactively thinking about and making sure that you've got your strategies in place to not only fend off any sudden attacks in any way, so that your organization or your family life or your community group are robust enough to take some shocks anyway, but you've also got some strategies in place to cope with anything that comes from left field. So, how do you do this? In my book, I've got a section on each chapter called Take a Bite, and this one is no exception. So, in the book, I put, call a meeting with key decision makers and non-thinkers and ideas personnel and ask the question, what event or development might occur in the future that, however unlikely it might be, could devastate our business, service and delivery? Frame the question with the following statement. Nothing is to be considered too off the wall. Alien invasion? Check. Asteroid strike? Check. Thermonuclear war? Definitely check. Brainstorm every possible situation. Don't analyze them. This is the key thing. Do not analyze them as people are suggesting them. Just write them down on the whiteboard, capture them all, look at them all. And then after you've done a couple hours of that, and I mean, initially people will be afraid of putting stuff forward, but the more outlandish some will get, but others will think, do you know what? That's outlandish, but there is a version of that that might not be. So you get them all captured, and then you start to review them one by doing a simple SWOT analysis. And the ones that are more likely, they're the ones you come up with possible strategies to deal with first. But you also look at the more outlandish ones and you develop an internal process for coming up with strategies that should even the outlandish ones happen, at least you've got a team in place that can quickly come up and implement. The fact is that the process of dealing with shocks will be the same no matter what the shock is. So although you may have to tweak some of the actual actions and you may have to change different parts of your entity, whether it's business, organization, team, family, community group, doesn't matter, the actual process of how you step up to adapting to those challenges will be the same. Now, I keep mentioning Apple and the iPhone and how it knocked out the Nokias and the Blackberries of this world, but even the iPhone sales started to stall in the face of really stiff competition from Samsung and the Android phones. But what's interesting, Apple were kind of almost expecting it and they had a strategy already in place. And what they did, they applied the chameleon principle, which is another principle in my book, and they adapted. That's what the chameleon principle is all about. It's about adapting. And they didn't go about trying to sell even more iPhones. They actually went into luxury. They decided to brand their phones as the luxury item. They raised the price. So even if they're not selling as many handsets, they're still making as much money. It's just unbelievable how much people will pay for an iPhone. It fries my brain that people will often pay more for an iPhone than they will for a decent second-hand car, for example. It just, fries my brain. Now, I want to take a moment here to mention good old Donald Rumsfeld. Now, he stated in a press briefing many, many years ago, "There are known knowns. There are things we know. There are known unknowns. That is to say, there are things that we know we don't know, but there are also unknown unknowns. These are the things we don't know we don't know." Now, it's really funny because a lot of people just said, they really attacked him and said that's just, this stupid statement. But actually, it wasn't. What he said there is actually the truth. There are known knowns. There are known unknowns. There are things that are coming out of left field that we don't even know we don't know about. It's all relevant. And I think the record needs to be reset on Donald's words, because actually, he was very prescient, especially with what's happening in the world today. And when you consider we've had peace on the European continent for decades and decades, and then suddenly it's just, I'm going to have a land grab now. It's just, no one was prepared. No one really thought he would go through with Putin would invade Ukraine, but he did. And it's really thrown the world order into this chaos, because no one was prepared for it. In summary then, the unexpected guest principle says you must ask and answer on a regular basis, and I'm suggesting at least once a year, but more if possible, the following question. What event or development, no matter how unlikely, should it occur, cause massive problems for my organization? Now, in each of the chapters that I do, I also have a section called Coping with Indigestion at the end of each chapter, where I try to put myself in your shoes and ask questions that you might have, and then I answer them. So with this one, I've put question, how off the wall should we go before things become silly? And I've put, obviously, there comes a point when you have to make judgment calls about some of the ideas or suggestions. The trick is not to dismiss anything out of hand to start with. The format of your unexpected guest workshop should be to first capture any and all suggestions about events and developments, no matter how impossible they may first appear to be. Only start to evaluate them once this process has been exhausted. Now, the other reason why you shouldn't dismiss anything out of hand is if someone makes a very outlandish statement about what could happen and you shut it down instantly, you'll find that everyone else clams up. You need to make them all laugh. It doesn't matter. The more they laugh, the more they join in, the more they come up with suggestions. And just every now and again, you will get a suggestion of something that might happen that you have not, or your business has not considered, and it could throw a whole new direction of planning into the mix for you that will help you cope with that kind of situation should it occur. The next question I put is very simply, surely we can't plan for everything though. My answer is, of course you can't. It's impossible to anticipate absolutely everything that could occur at some unspecified point in the future. But if you visit this scenario once a year with your best thinkers, and because they know it's every year, they will start to prepare for the meeting by reading and following a wider library of opinions, then you can start to create plans and strategies that form a knowledge bank of tools that can be readily adapted to suit other issues should they occur. And also note that whilst I said have the unexpected guest workshop annually, for the first year, I would do them quarterly to create a momentum and culture change needed to start to think beyond what is happening now. Now, am I saying that you should do this with your family every quarter and really kind of, sit down, folks, let's have a look. What's going to affect us going forward? No, And it doesn't need to be quite so formal if it's with your family. But I would actually, once a year, just sit down around the table when you're having Sunday dinner or whatever, and just start to say, look, guys, you know, what do you think might affect us in the next year? You know, what should we plan for? And what should we think might happen? And what should we think could be really stupidly happen? And get everyone engaged, just get them involved. And if nothing else, you'll have built up a little bit of rapport with your family because you're all discussing something that's fascinating and fun. And you never know, there might just be something there that might get you thinking, do you know what? After we've finished dinner and everyone's settled down, I'm going to actually do some research on this and make a plan just in case. For your businesses, it's absolutely essential that you do it because, as I say, just look at the big corporations that have just disappeared, some of them overnight, because of changes, not to the way a particular product or service was delivered, but because a brand new technology or a brand new way of providing a service came into effect. I hope you've enjoyed that, and I'm really looking forward to doing some more of these chapters. You 2.0 Build Yourself Better isn't out yet. It will be out very, very soon. I've just got those final little format changes that I need to make before I send it up to the printers. And it'll also be available in a PDF and a digital reader format as well. So I'm just getting those formats absolutely right. The words, everything now, the content is as is, and I can't keep tweaking it because I'm just going to keep doing it forever. So it's just the formatting I'm concentrating on. In the meantime, come along to our forum, which is darreninform.com/ThinkWorks forum. You'll find that there is a room to discuss the ThinkWorks episodes in there, and there will be a post in there that is relevant to this specific edition of ThinkWorks. Come and tell me some of your favourite things that, outlandish as they may be, may happen, or what we should be considering that might happen to the world economy. What's your ideas? What, you know, let's engage in the discussion. I would love that. So come and join me for that. Next week, I'm hoping we might be doing another Unexplained Mysteries episode. And I think we're looking at the whole area of cryptozoology, which is the study of mythological and legendary creatures that may actually have a basis somewhere in truth. I'm really looking forward to that. I'm going to be joined by Steve, the Professor Lowe, again for that one. And we'll have some fun teasing around some of the creatures that are supposedly out there even today. Take care, everyone. It's a crazy world out there. So make sure that you keep asking questions. That's what ThinkWorks is all about. And also, if you want to suggest any topics or if you want to come and guest on an episode and talk about a specific topic, let me know and we'll see what we can do. I'll see you soon.
If you would like to find out more, or join in with the conversation, our forum has a corresponding post for you to comment in. Simply go to darreninform.com/thinkworksforum and join in the fun. Or you can join the Facebook page by searching for @DarrenInform for news, tips and other helpful strategies. The show was hosted by Darren Smithson, and the music is by Alexander Nakarada. You have been listening to ThinkWorks, the podcast for thinkers.